Ephesians chapter 1. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. For our time this morning, I want us to consider the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Before we get into the lesson, I want to say it's good to see everyone that was able to get out this morning. It was quite a challenge. I know several places are not having services today. And again, just to repeat, we will not have them this evening, especially not knowing, since we don't have the parking lot cleared, what condition it will be in, and it's just hard getting around anywhere. So hopefully everyone will get home safe and we'll all be able to be back Wednesday evening and the weather will be much better. So you think about God's power. And as David brought up in class this morning, when Jesus was in the garden and the mob came to him and they asked who he was and he told them and they fell back just with his word. You go back to the beginning of time and God spoke and things came into existence. There's power in the word. There's power in God. You think about God that is able to control everything. Control the planets, control the weather, control the cycles of everything. But do we think about the power of God in us? I think sometimes we think we recognize the power of God out in the world. We need to understand the power of God in us. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And this is a great thought. The invisible, the Almighty God working in us, his people, and through us, we accomplish all the good purposes that God wants us to do. So, what is God able to do for us with his power? Well, with his power, he's able to save us. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Friends, I need to be saved. We all need to be saved. We cannot save ourselves. It's only through the power of God that we can be saved. This is why he came. His name was called Jesus. That means Savior. He died and he rose again. He saves us from wrath. He saves us from sin. He saves us from the world. He'll save us from ourselves. He'll save us from the devil. And he'll save us from death and the grave. He will save us so that we can live forever. Well, God, with his great power, he's able to deliver us. Daniel 3, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. We see many noteworthies throughout the Old Testament where God delivered them. And God is able to deliver us. The fiery furnace, the lion's den. Sometimes he delivers us by shutting the mouths of our enemies and quenching the violence of their passions. Sometimes he delivers us just by something ceasing to continue. When we get to the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All of these Old Testament noteworthies, how were they able to do what they did? It was by the power of God. And friends, that power of God is available to us today. He's able to make a stand. Philippians 3:21, he will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And you think about Paul writing to the Philippians, and where was he when he wrote this letter? He was in jail. We might look and say, well, Paul had no power in jail. Paul couldn't even get himself out of jail. But you think about all the power that we have today from what Paul wrote to encourage the church there and to encourage us today. The power of God working through him did not end when he was put to death. It's the power of God. You can't stop the power of God. And this is a great comfort too when men will not endure sound doctrine. And just like we should be able to stand, just like Paul in our preaching, just like Elijah standing against the false prophets. 1 Kings 17:1, and Elijah said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. You stop and think about that. God had the power to cause a drought. God had the power to stop the rain. And Elijah had the power to talk to God, and God answered his prayer. And later when they needed rain, and Elijah prayed to God, and then he could see this small cloud way out over yonder, and it rained. The power of God. And we think, how am I going to get through this problem that I've got? How am I going to get through this mess that I'm in? How am I going to be able to do this and be able to do that? And friends, we forget that the power of God that we read about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is still working today. His power is able to keep us. Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What will help us to stop sinning? It's the power of God. In Christ, we are kept at the Father's hand where no thief can steal us. We're kept by the power of God through faith, through his word. And the more time we spend in his word, we are going to gain more power. We're going to have more of the power of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You want to put your faith and trust in something? What are you going to do? You're going to invest in a life insurance policy? Is that going to give you peace of mind? You hear people saying every day you got to invest in gold. Invest in gold and you'll be set. You won't have to worry about a thing. Friends, if you want to be kept ready for salvation, we need to be kept in the power of God. Nothing can take that away from us. We might turn it over to somebody, but you have money, you have gold, you have possessions. Those can all be gone overnight, and then we have nothing. But if we have God, we have something that is eternal. And we've got to remember that. I've got to remember that. And that's something that will give us power. The greatness of his power is able to satisfy us. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And somebody will say, oh, we need this, we need that, we need to do this. Friends, we just need to read God's word, pray to God, and put one foot in front of the other and go out and do what God said to do. God will satisfy us. You always may have all sufficiency in all things. A lot of people don't think that the Bible is sufficient enough. They'll say you need the Bible and some other book. You need this and something else. No, the Bible is all we need. We are sufficient in all things. Is it so with you? Why not? God is able to do exceeding abundantly. God's able to raise us. Again, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So God is able to keep that which we've committed unto him. We sing a song with that in there. Do we believe those words? Spirit, soul, body, and there's this joyful anticipation. This body is going to be put off, and we're going to be clothed in immortality. I was speaking with someone the other day, and we were relating the things of life, and he said, yeah, Bruce, I know it's like I see the finish line ahead of me, and there's so many things I want to do before I get there. And the older we get, we know we're running out of time. And this body is going to fail us. The body, the spirit, the soul, and we should anticipate what is waiting for us beyond this life when we are faithful to God. He's able to present us faultless. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling, so his power can keep us from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You just stop and think, we're going to stand before our judge one day. And what if we said, but you didn't give me anything so that I can live a life so I would be faultless? Our judge would say, I gave you this book. I gave you my word, and there's power in this word. Well, what is God able to do in us? We looked at what he's able to do for us. What is he able to do in us? He's able to dwell in us. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. This isn't something miraculous. He's going to dwell in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. You think about the love of God, the width and length and depth. It's so deep. It reached down from heaven so high. It reached down so low to pull me up out of sin. That love is that great. It loves us infinity. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I pray for certain things and then I doubt. I don't know if anybody else does that. I pray for this and then I doubt. Is this going to happen? Is this prayer going to be answered? And I forget how powerful that God is. Is God able to do just a little, or maybe he can answer my prayer, and I don't know if he can answer my prayer and yours too. Is God that powerful? Paul said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You take the 8 billion people that are alive right now. If they were all Christians, if they were all praying to God, God would be able to answer everybody's prayer. He's that powerful. But what do we think? Oh, woe is me. I don't know. And we don't have enough faith in God. that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. We got to have faith. God is able to subdue, Philippians 3:21. Again, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What is that new body going to be like? I can't tell you. The words that we read about in the Bible just convey messages, but some things you just can't put into words because we haven't seen something. You can't describe something you haven't seen. And we don't know what this body is going to be like, but we know that our body is going to be transformed, and we know God has the power to do that. If he can say, let there be light, and there's light, he can do anything. If he can raise his son from the dead, from the grave, and seat him on the right hand of glory, he can do anything. If Christ reigns within, the enemies within will be subdued. Why is it that sometimes Satan gets the best of me? Because I've got Satan up here instead of Christ up here. We got to learn to keep Christ in our heart all the time. If Christ reigns within, the enemies will be subdued. He will subdue the lust of the flesh, the fiery temper, the hasty tongue. You find somebody, you just know they have certain weaknesses, just taking the tongue or habits or something like that. It's like a little flag that they aren't spending enough time in God's Word. God is able to aid us, Hebrews 2:18. For in him that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. You see, Jesus, our high priest, he knows what we go through. When he was tempted in the wilderness, he knows what we go through. And he suffered and was tempted in all manner like men. And how did he overcome those temptations? Did he work some miracle? He overcame them with the word. And when you read about when he was in the wilderness, when the devil, he would reply, it is written, it is written, it is written. And some people think that that was the only time that Satan tempted him, but they don't read the whole text. Because it says that Satan left him for a time. Satan came back. Jesus lived in the same world. He was surrounded with temptations all the time. Yet he set the example of how to overcome them. Temptations are common. If we're in fellowship with Christ, we're going to be succored with his sympathy in the hour of trial. He knows what temptations are. And he knows how to aid us. Do we call on God for that power that is just waiting for us? Well, God is able to strengthen us. 2 Timothy 4:17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Friends, we've got, when we feel weak, when we feel like we need to be strengthened, we've got to go to God, we've got to go to his word. The more time we spend in his word, the more it is going to mold and shape our lives. This is not something better felt than told, or not something miraculous, but a sense of his presence inspires us with freshness and vigor and energy. If you don't think so, next time you feel down, just pick up your Bible and go to the Psalms and read them for half an hour or an hour. And think about what you're reading. and you think about David and all the things that he went through, and he was low, and then God would lift him up, and he would pray to God to lift him. God is able to build us up. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What's going to build me up? God's word. There's power in the word. There's power in the word. And our life, our character, it needs building up. The new man, you think about the new man. Who created this new man? It was God. Again, it's through him we get this strength. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Have you noticed as we're going through all of these verses, how many of them talk about faith? And how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is the key to power in our life. The more time we spend in God's word, the more power of God we are going to have. God's able to fill us. Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What does God want us to do? He's got the power to fill us with what he wants us to do, with wisdom, with understanding. But then again, it takes some work. We got to open our Bibles. We want to open our Bibles and spend time in his words. Ephesians 5:18, Paul writing, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, again, his word. God, and you think about this, when he's able to fill us, God has reserved to himself the right to fill a human soul. What do most people fill their soul with? The things of the world. Pleasure, entertainment, busy, business, money, any and everything under the sun. God owns our soul. He bought it. He purchased us. When Christ went to the cross, he paid the ransom for our sins. We were bought out of sin. We have a new master. And he has the right to fill our soul with himself. Again, we need to think like him, act like him, talk like him. Just like a child, you look at the child and say, he's just like his father. People need to look at us and say, he's just like his father. He's just like his father. God's power makes us able to work. Hebrews 13:21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So that implies there are things that are pleasing in his sight and things that are not pleasing in his sight. And you just think about this. This is a nice thought. He's able to work in us that which is pleasing in God's sight. We want to be pleasing to the Father. John writes in 1 John 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And if we are overcome, then Satan is in us more than Christ. Well, what is God able to do through us? He's able to reveal. Well, what does that mean? Galatians 1:16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. We are the mouthpiece for God to reveal His will to others. We are the feet for God to go places and tell people. We are the hands to do things for people, to reveal God to others. If His Son has been revealed in us, it is that He might be revealed through us. So we read God's Word, which reveals His Son. It's revealed to us. We put His Son in our heart, and then we reveal Him to others. If the light has shined in our hearts, it is that others might see and glorify God, not glorify us. If the light has shined in our hearts, it is that others might see that light and glorify God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." A lot of people haven't learned this. We are not to think beyond what is written. Again, what do they do? Well, I know that's what that says, but this person wrote in this book over here, and this person said that. No, we gotta stop. "I've figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written." We've got to be satisfied with what the Bible says, satisfied with God's Word. And then we put a period there. There's nothing wrong with reading other books, but when it comes to what we do, we've got to not think beyond what is written. And again, people today, some people think they are still getting revelations today. No, God has revealed Himself. It's been written down once for all time, and we don't think beyond that. "The treasure is put in earthen vessels that the power may be in God." Who am I to tell somebody what they need to do for eternal salvation? I'm nobody. The power is in God's Word. And that power, again, can lift somebody up out of sin and lift him all the way up to heaven. Well, God is able to reconcile. 2 Corinthians 5. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." When you think of this word reconcile, it's used in different ways. In finance, accounting, you reconcile books. You want to make sure the ledgers balance. You think about in terms of a marriage, two people can be at odds. Two people can be estranged, separated, maybe a parent, child, maybe husband and wife. It's often to see a husband and wife that are apart, and then they are reconciled. What does that mean? Means they come back together. You see, we are at odds with God when we sin. And through Christ, we can be reconciled to God. We can be brought back together. What a responsibility that God should commit unto us the word of reconciliation. We're those peacemakers. We're those peacemakers that can go out and tell people in the world what they need to do to be saved, to have that right relationship with God. God's power is able to do that. God's power is able to overcome. Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Sometimes we might pick up one piece of armor or another. That ain't going to work. We got to put it all on. And when we don't have on the full armor of God and we sin, that dishonors God. Well, His power is going to make us able to bear fruit. Colossians 1:10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." There's power in His Word. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Again, if we are a Christian, we are to bear fruit through the power of God. We're able to do God's own pleasure because of his power. Philippians 2:13, or it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Again, we are just vessels. We are instruments to take God's word, to put it into our mind, let it fill our body, our mind, and then do what his good pleasure is. We then, as workers, together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Think about this. We dwell with the king for his work. 1 Chronicles 4:23. These were the potters and those who dwell there. They dwelt with the king for his work. We dwell with the king. We dwell with Christ. For what purpose? For the work. To be filled with life divine, to be clothed with might, to reflect my Lord, to shine as saints in light. There's a lot of power, a lot of things that God is able to do with his power. To do for us, he's able to save us, deliver us, make a stand. He's able to keep us, able to satisfy us, able to raise us, able to present us faultless. What can he do in us? He can dwell in us, subdue, aid us, strengthen, build up, fill, work. What can he do through us? He's able to reveal, reconcile, overcome, bear fruit, do his own good pleasure. So what God is able to do for us, what God is able to do in us, what God is able to do through us. And we might not think of the power of God and that power that we need to take hold of. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? It's not just power. It's great power, exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And again, when I think of power, I think of Romans 1:16, where Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power. What can be more powerful than the gospel? It's, as it's been said for many years, it can blast man out of sin and blast sin out of man. There's nothing more powerful than the gospel. There's nothing more powerful than his word. When we are struggling with something in life or have problems or feel overwhelmed, what's the answer? It's God's word. We go to God, and oftentimes the reason we stumble or fall or feel down is because we've moved away from that power. We move back to that power and let God dwell in our hearts, and we can enjoy all of these blessings that God, that we read about this morning, that's through the power of God. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.